GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Congressman Bruce Poliquin and three other plaintiffs filing suit to halt the ranked choice voting tabulation in Augusta in Maine's 2nd Congressional District race. Congressman Poliquin at a press conference yesterday.
I won the election fair and square. And just like in 2014, I won the election fair and square with less than 50% of the vote. So the election should be over.
Our coverage begins this morning, George, in Falmouth. John Brodigam, he's the policy director for the Maine League of Women Voters. They chimed in on this, and John's on the phone for conversation with us this morning. He's on line three if you want to be the first to say good morning to him, sir.
Well, John, good morning. Nice to talk to you today.
Good morning, Rick and George. Good to be here.
The legalities of all of this, we really anticipated would happen. So nothing new here. I didn't know when it would happen, but you almost figured it would happen. The interesting thing so far, and perhaps you can chime in on this, Congressman Poliquin is suing in federal court to stop it, but there's been no determination yet by the Secretary of State as to the recount. Is this premature in your view?
Yeah, it looks like there's a handful of towns that are still left to be counted in the Secretary of State's process there, and that could be done today. And I really don't see any reason to stop that process. That will just end up finalizing the result, and that information, you know, would be made public. So I do think it is premature, but more fundamentally, you know, we don't think it's well grounded in the law.
And maybe you could delve into that. Why do you find that his complaint and the complaint of the three others in the suit to halt ranked choice tabulation is not well-grounded, John?
Well, they claim that the United States Constitution establishes a mandatory plurality standard under Article 1, Section 2. And if you look at that part of the Constitution, it says nothing about a plurality. And more importantly, states all over the country, including Maine, in the 19th century, have used a majority standard for electing members of Congress for decades, and it's never been challenged, and it's never been questioned in court. So we think that's just, there's not much to that. As a legal matter, it's, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you get one of those little lobster claws with the thin little shell, and you open it up, and there's a shriveled little sliver of meat in there. Well, that's sort of what this is. It's kind of not a lot of meat in there. It's just nothing there, legally speaking.
Well, for those of us on the outside looking in who are not lawyers, all you can do is kind of read of what's happened. I went back to May 20, 2017, a little over a year ago. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court did issue a unanimous advisory, and I use that term advisory, concluding that parts of the law apply to general elections and governor are unconstitutional, but did make a note that the state constitution does not govern primary or federal elections. That was from the Maine Supreme Judicial Court in an advisory opinion. Tell me from a legal standpoint what that means.
Well, what that means is that those elections that were questioned in that opinion, those are no longer part of the system. Those were pulled out of the law, and now we only are dealing with these congressional general elections and the primary elections that we had in June. So those don't have any kind of constitutional problem under the Maine Constitution. So that whole lawsuit in front of the Supreme Court in 2017, you know, was a step in this process, but that's done, and that part of the law no longer exists, so that's irrelevant now.
Well, for those that don't understand, and perhaps you can put daylight into this, if we as a state don't have the authority to govern over these federal elections, we would presume that it would be Washington and the U.S. Constitution that would outline what parameters we must remain within during such an election. And that's part of what the Poliquin camp and the three filers of this suit say. They say that this runs afoul of the U.S. Constitution, John.
Well, again, there is no constitutional standard that requires a plurality vote. We have established a system here where the voters have voted for it twice now that requires 50%. It's now the standard for the election in the state of Maine. It's a standard in other states. And it's, you know, if I can use a sports analogy, no candidate has put the ball in the end zone yet. You really have to go through this process till somebody gets 50%, and that hasn't happened yet. The notion that the election day vote was the end of the story is really not correct and not fair to the voters, because Those are first choices of candidates that were, you know, were using a different rule. You know, they might not have voted that way if they knew that this was going to be a plurality election. Their behavior would have been different. So I think all the lawyers I know of think that in the, you know, off chance that somehow this succeeds, what's going to happen would be an entirely new election. It would not be just, naming Congressman Poliquin as the winner. That would not happen.
We're talking with John Brodigam. He's the policy director for the Maine League of Women Voters. One's of among those who chimed in following the news yesterday that Congressman Poliquin and three second congressional district voters are suing to halt the ranked choice tabulation in Augusta.
Is there another element to this that nobody seems to be talking about, is that constitutionally the United States House of Representatives ultimately will decide if there's a contested seat, they would decide who sits in that seat. Is that accurate?
Well, yes, that is accurate. That is the U.S. Constitution. But our job here in the state is to make sure that we apply state law and tabulate the state votes correctly and issue a result and an outcome that is consistent with state law, consistent with the United States Constitution. And in the event that the U.S. House of Representatives takes a look at this, then they would have all of the information, accurate information, full assessment of the outcome of the election under state law, and they would be able to make a decision. But we certainly don't think it'll come to that.
The former Federal Election Commission chair and lead attorney for Poliquin and the three fellow plaintiffs in the case is Lee Goodman.
We believe that the ranked choice voting system elevates some votes and voter preferences over others. It gives some voters multiple bites at the apple and elevates or amplifies certain voters by giving them additional choices, and that is a fundamental problem under the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution.
John, another comment that Lee made was that this runs afoul, ranked choice voting runs afoul of the, I want to make sure that I have it, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I wanted to get maybe your insight into those claims.
Well, let me just say that in the ranked choice voting, as you probably know, there are different rounds of tabulation where the losing, you know, the candidate with the least votes gets dropped out and their votes get reallocated based on the second choices of their voters. In that process of reallocation, the voters who voted for the candidates that did not get dropped out, they still get their votes counted. So I don't see any reason why, you know, somebody's getting more bites at the apple than somebody else. It's just like if there was a runoff election, then the voters all get to go back to the polls, not just the voters of the candidates who got dropped off. Everybody gets to go back to the poll and have another bite at the apple. So I really don't think that argument makes a lot of sense. And that's really essentially the Voting Rights Act argument as well.
The conversations that I had with people yesterday after the story broke came down to two things. Number one, voters approved ranked choice voting twice at the ballot box. That would make Maine the first to use the process in federal elections. The second thing that people brought up was, if in fact the court says the election is flawed, you can't do it this way, wouldn't we have to have a second election? Because you can't say the people who voted the first time under ranked choice voting would vote the same way the second time. In other words,
yeah,
shouldn't we have a second election if the court rules that way?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to come to that, but you're absolutely right. You know, people might have voted differently if they thought that this was going to be a different rule in place for tabulating the votes. So I completely agree. You can't just assume that all of those first place votes would have been the same if it had not been ranked choice voting. I know many voters who thought very carefully about ranking their votes and chose one of the candidates who did not end up in the top two and knew that their second choice vote was still going to count. And they may not have done that if they had realize that this was going to just end after the first tabulation. So I think you're 100% correct on that.
We hear a lot about the will of the people and how Mainers voted for ranked choice voting. Would be interested in your comment on this, John. Voters in CD2, they didn't want ranked choice voting. In CD2, ranked choice voting failed by 20,000 votes. It was only the first congressional district and arguably votes in Portland alone that put it over the top. So we're watching a fight in CD2 among voters that didn't want this in the first place.
Well, I think what you're putting your finger on there is that this is largely a policy dispute, and you know, it could be a political dispute for people who are, you know, want to win an election, want to prevail in the election. But it's not a constitutional dispute. There's not a constitutional issue here. And, you know, we're one state. We have one state government. We have one state election system. And that's the way the voters in 2016 and again in the people's veto, that's what they affirmed as the law of Maine. And I'm sure there are people who are not happy with that. There are ways for them to try to propose different systems or try to change it or try to repeal it, as has been done. And that's the right avenue to go, not to go into court and try to unwind an election.
Well, Judge Lance Walker will have a hearing at 9 o'clock today. It's a request for TRO that would, in essence, force the Secretary of State to stop the process until the case is settled. I've been involved in a few TROs in the past. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Usually a judge will give you a TRO if there's imminent damage, right, that could occur. I don't know how you view this, whether you think the judge will or won't. I mean, trying to guess a judge is not easy.
Well, we you know, everybody has a right to go to court, and we're not afraid of another round of judicial review. This is like the fifth time this thing has been reviewed in court one way or another. We're 100% confident in the law, and you know, we think that the harm to the public by stopping an election in the middle is very significant. So I think there's a heavy burden to prove that there's some unconstitutionality about this before you would go to the extent of interrupting an election that you know, was just conducted. So we'll be there in court and we'll see what happens, but we're confident ultimately this law was going to be completely upheld.
If it is kicked out, is the League of Women Voters in Maine prepared to accept that?
Well, we would think that this needs to be thoroughly reviewed, and of course we feel that if there's a ruling against it, that we would, you know, keep open all of our options, including taking an appeal to the First Circuit. But again, I think it's premature to go there. I do think this is well grounded legally, and I just, you know, read the briefs, I read them carefully, didn't see a whole lot in there, not a lot of cases that say that this is what the judge got to do. So I just don't think there's much there, legally speaking.
John Brodigam, the policy director with the Maine League of Women Voters, we appreciate the early morning phone call, and you're welcome back anytime to our show. We'll watch with interest what happens, and we'll get back in touch with you again. You're welcome back anytime, sir.
Well, thank you, and I just wanted to say, I wanted to thank the Secretary of State's office and all of the election workers who, you know, are there tabulating votes. They didn't get to go home on Election Day. They're still working really hard, and I think you can never thank them too much. So we appreciate that.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.